Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
You are listening to the Satellite Sisters. It's Tuesday, December 3rd already. Can you believe it, Julie Dolan in Dallas, Texas? Can you believe it's December 3rd already?
Well, happy holidays, Leanne.
Yeah, sure, man.
Sure. Might as well just go right into it. I like this sort of... how they're all compressed this year. You have Thanksgiving, you have Hanukkah, Christmas. It's all together. That's good. Yeah.
And you know what, though? Because Christmas falls on like a Wednesday and New Year's falls on a Wednesday, it's a full like 2.5 weeks of vacation. I just looked at my son's school vacation schedule for the end of the year. I was like, for goodness sakes. And then because in Pasadena, then we have the extra added freakish national championship game on the 6th. So all the schools are off on Monday, January 6th, too, because it's too hard to move around town. So it is literally like 2.5 weeks. I don't want to tell him that yet because he's got to get through exams. But anyway, so we are going to discuss Thanksgiving. Julie, we have a rich, full show. We have some civility issues we need to discuss, just like back in the day. There's a new study out about men's and women's brains. I don't think it's a surprise to anyone who's ever spoken to a man that they are hardwired differently. But I was surprised to read the study because they exactly described my husband and your husband, Julie. So stay tuned for that.
Okay, Leanne.
Science is going to explain a lot of things about our men. Tuesday trends, baby names, and then I have some exciting news about Kindle. So really, a rich full show. But what we all want to know, Julie, is how was the deep fried turkey? Did you burn the house down?
No, success, Leanne, success. And I want to thank everybody that posted things at our Facebook page. Some of it was very helpful. The pictures of exploding turkeys, in some ways that was helpful too, because we were really interested in a lot of safety. Okay. And, you know, my husband's in the oil and gas business, so he has very strong standards for any sort of propane tank use. And, so we did have a zone of safety. We did have our fire extinguisher out there. We had the safety gloves. We read the instructions about 18 times. And Leanne, you would never deep fat fry a turkey if you read the instructions, because the first 5 pages are danger, you know, danger, 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 danger. Like, you know, it cautions you not to deep fry when you're intoxicated, when you've taken prescription drugs, when you've taken over the counter drugs. It cautions you not to deep fry, obviously, in a house or in a tent, you know, because obviously somebody has tried to cook a turkey in a tent. Not in a shed, you know, just anywhere. So it all went well. And as everyone who's done this many, many times, the beauty part is that you can cook a 16-pound turkey in 53 minutes, Leanne.
Wow.
Can I say that again? 53 minutes.
Wow, that is fast.
Golden, super delicious, super moist. No, it does not taste like Kentucky Fried Chicken. Just a beautiful turkey in 53 minutes. So you see, Leanne, that just opens up your Thanksgiving day. You can do so many more things when you're not like bent over the stove, roasting, basting, looking, roasting, basting. 53 minutes, dunk it in, bring it out. That's it.
And well, how long does it take to heat up the oil, though?
That takes about an hour.
Okay.
So an hour and 53 minutes. It's faster than roasting, Leanne.
All right.
Okay? And it's men outside, so that's good. So all was good. All was good. We did have one moment where I saw my life flash in front of me, which is we were doing this turkey cooking out in our driveway, and our next door neighbors were in their driveway, which is adjacent to our driveway. There's a hedge between the two, and they were playing a little pre-Thanksgiving basketball.
Oh.
Somebody took a shot and the basketball came flying over the hedge and bounced dangerously close to the cooking turkey. So I could see it all in front of me, Leanne. The basketball hitting the turkey, knocking it over, igniting the hot oil. You know, we would have blown up everything around us, but we managed to avoid that, Leanne. So
was that in the manual? Do not set up the fryer near neighbor's basketball or football game.
Yes, that's we're going to have to coordinate with our neighbors next year. Like, what time is your basketball game? Because we don't want to be simultaneously cooking. I can see that's the thing. But I two thumbs up on it, Leanne. It just adds a lot to your Thanksgiving day. It really does. I want to encourage you. I believe that your menfolk would really get into it. It's really enjoyable.
Is this an annual thing now for you? Is this decided, like, okay, every year turkey? Fried turkey.
I think we're doing it, Liam. Okay. I think the days of roasting a turkey, I think they're over.
And now what are you going to do with the fire, though, the rest of the year? Are you going to set up a stand out in front of the house?
Well, here's the other part, Liam, because after we roasted the turkey and after we had eaten our dinner and we had taken a walk and we were sitting outside, it was a nice kind of coolish night in Dallas. We did some deep fried Oreo cookies.
Oh,
in the hot oil, because we had all this oil. So we decided we just didn't want to waste. So we had some beignet batter and we deep fried Oreo cookies as our final tasty treat of Thanksgiving.
Wow, that's unexpected. I did not expect you to say that.
Well, I know, Leanne. I know your stuff. So you got to get on it. Like, I know you usually are the one. You're the food trendsetter in our family. I mean, you take our family to new food heights, Leanne. You really do. So this is why I know you're going to get into this. This is the other thing. You have all this hot oil. So you can start. You could do. If you have Snicker bars, you could do deep fat fried Snicker bars.
Yes, you could.
But the Oreos, deep fat fried Oreos, sitting outside with the fire, delish, absolutely delish.
All right. Well, I will. Maybe next year we'll just come to your house because you've already bought the fryer. So I don't know if we can commit to that because we actually executed a new strategy this year.
Oh, yeah.
It was the heavy hors d'oeuvres, simple dinner. Okay. That was a change from light hors d'oeuvres, many, many choices for dinner.
Heavy dinner.
And it wasn't just so heavy. It was like two stuffings, you know, six squashes, just like side dish after side dish. And so it made the execution at dinner time very stressful. It's hard enough. It is, you know, the thing about cooking a turkey, it's not like it's hard. It's just big. It's just a big, unwieldy main course. So...
Not if you have a fryer in the backyard.
Apparently not. So, but I have to say, everybody was thrilled with the new strategy. All the party goers really enjoyed it. As our brother Brendan said, when I informed him we were going with heavy hors d'oeuvres, I think I called it a simple dinner, but he interpreted that as a light dinner. I think he was seriously worried he wasn't going to have enough food. He's like,
so he went heavy on the hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah. He's like, well, that was a lot more food than I thought it was going to be. I was like, well, yes, I'm not going to starve people. I just pared it down to one main course, one stuffing option. So people really enjoyed the heavy hors d'oeuvres. We had the pate, Lisbeth seafood. I made the spinach and artichoke dip, which everybody enjoys and is just as good the next day. Just a simple cheese platter. And it was just a very relaxed hors d'oeuvre hour. And then it did make putting dinner out much easier. Dinner was enjoyed by all. No one seemed to miss like the seven squashes I didn't mash this year. Or the green beans. No one ate, but I felt better serving. No one missed it. And then we had dessert. There were no deep fried Oreos, but because it was Hanukkah, our sister-in-law Laura brought jelly donuts, which is fried dough.
Really? Is that traditional on Hanukkah?
That is traditional. It's not traditional on Thanksgiving, but it's traditional on Hanukkah. So we also had some fried dough after dinner in an unusual move. So all in all, good food strategy, and I got the thumbs up from Liz, Sheila, and Brendan to carry on with this in the future. This looks like the way we're going to go. Plus, it's just good to have the pate. Pate.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so glad you posted that on our Facebook page and on our web page because it's just a great pate. It'll be perfect for Christmas, too, and I'm hoping I'll have my wrist full capacity so that I can make pate then.
I did scatter.
But I might just deep fry something for Christmas, Leanne. We're in the spirit.
I did scatter some pomegranate seeds on that pate, and that was a big hit. Just a nice little tart crunch. Very good.
Okay, see, that's what I mean. You take us to new food heights all the time, Leanne. But you got to get, I want you to consider next year's turkey. That's all. We have a whole year. That's the thing. We have a whole year to think about it.
So I was at the grocery store last week. Well, I was at the grocery store like 12 times last week. I had to just keep going and shopping in you know, small increments because you don't have enough room in your kitchen to do all the shopping really on one day. So
does anyone really do all the shopping for Thanksgiving on one day?
I don't think it's possible. There must be people because everybody gets food on the table and it's not necessarily, you know, super elaborate. I mean, a lot of the food, when you think about it for Thanksgiving, is pretty simple. It's mashed potatoes, it's turkey. So it could be done. I remember having that conversation with Mom, who would have liked to have like started cooking the turkey on Tuesday. I was like, you know, I think other people in America cook on Thursday. Like they don't start cooking Tuesday. But I was at the grocery store, and you've heard me speak out many times about my dissatisfaction about the plastic bag ban that we have in the city of Pasadena.
Right.
Now,
right.
I know it makes me sound environmentally unfriendly, but
it sure does.
There are plenty of arguments to be made that, you know, all those, quote, reusable bags require a lot of washing and sterilization, and they carry salmonella. And there's kind of an argument that it might be a wash in terms of environmentally. That being said, it does mean that our freeways are much cleaner. They're not littered with plastic bags. Okay.
You can see the difference. You can really see the difference.
Yes, you can see the difference. And you will really see the difference January 1st when all of LA County, it is the largest plastic bag ban in the country. Almost a third of the state of California now. Again, very big state. Plastic bags have been banned. Okay. And so LA County goes into effect in January. So this is a cautionary tale, LA Countyites. Here's the thing about the plastic bag ban. It has just slowed up the grocery line process it's like a slow moving iceberg. And here is why. Right now, you may live in a place where people voluntarily bring bags. And that's super. And you feel good about yourself because you bring your three bags. But, you know, the other 90% of the line, they're just using the bags that the grocery store provides. They're using the bags that fit neatly into the grocery store holders. They're using the bags that the baggers are used to bagging. So what you get is a very efficient bagging system. And every once in a while, you show up with your mismatched bags that are folded and shoved in other bags. But that's okay. But when everybody in the line has the mismatched bags, it's like an iceberg. The lines now, particularly for me, I am still doing real shopping. I'm not just buying one chicken and moving on. And so I actually sometimes go shop in other towns just so I can get the plastic. I need the bags for the dog. I'm going to have to buy plastic bags. I will have to buy plastic bags for the dog. I always recycled my plastic bags, so I don't feel bad about using them. I recycle them. So anyway, and the other thing that's happened, not only has the line moved to a crawl, it is like baggers have decided, well, we used to bag everything separately and we used to know how to bag. But now when you give us your own bags, we're just going to put as much stuff as we can in the smallest amount of bags. I don't understand it. I bring a dozen, sometimes two dozen of my own bags. And
Two dozen bags?
Julie, I have $400 worth of groceries. Oh, I mean, you need, and I like the meat separated. I like a little, so long story short, I've just noticed that baggers seem to have forgotten how to bag. They just shove everything in the same bag, and they never used to do that. Watch for it. So I'm at the grocery store the other day, and now I've gotten into a habit of just saying, hey, I have a lot of bags. Could you please put the meat in a separate bag? Okay. Mm-hmm. Seems reasonable, right? And I say it in a nice tone of voice.
I was just about to ask, did you have your nice voice?
It's always a nice voice. It's not like I want to tell them what to do, even though they seem to have forgotten what to do. But I try to say it very nicely. So last week at the store, had my bags, said that to the clerk. And then Julie, she started asking about like every item that came down the runway. Here's how the conversation went. She said, do you want the roasted chicken in a bag? Do you want this gallon of milk in a bag? Yeah. And then she said, and I quote, do you want me to put the food in with the toxins? What?
Only in California would you have a bagger. That's a separate category, the toxins, right?
I was like, yeah, please put the food in with the toxins. I have dozens of bags. So why don't you just open up those dishwasher pods and scatter them all over the turkey? That, and you know, while you're at it, just strap that hot chicken to my chest and I'm going to carry the gallon of milk out on my head like those Kenyan ladies. I was like, what is going on?
Sounds like a little passive aggressiveness to me.
I know. I was like, do I want the food in with the toxins? Again, I have dozens of bags that I have provided. So it's just a fair warning to those of you out there that are advocating for your plastic bag ban. This is what you have to look forward to. You have to look forward to asking questions, you know, answering questions about every single item you buy. Do I want the hot chicken in a bag? Yeah. Yes, I have 24 bags. Jeez. So anyway.
That sounds like a really nice encounter. Leanna, I would say that I feel like we should almost provide equal time to the baggers, you know, particularly in areas where they have this, the plastic bag ban.
When you can have a normal conversation with them, they hate it too. They hate it too. No, it's really made their job a nightmare. So but this one seemed to really bust my chops a little bit. And
you know what I really think you should do? You know, like in Costco, you should come with boxes, Leanne, cardboard boxes, and have them box your food. I think it would go faster, you know? Really?
You know what? Seriously, Julie, that I may get to that point because the bag, and I, you know, but then I mean, again, it just gets heavy when they put everything. Oh, I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I'm just saying, be careful what you wish for, people.
Yes. All right.
Liz, you know, we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there. A gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already Framebridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? And that's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit Framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's Framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. no antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
Good report, Leanne. Good report. Well, Leanne, we have moved on to Christmas. And I would say last night plunged right into the holidays here in Dallas because it's the annual party that I take my grandchildren to where they get to see Santa. You know, I mean, you probably are not aware of this because your kids are older, but now the business of going to see Santa is a highly regulated business. I mean, it's highly regulated.
Yeah.
You can't just go to the mall and hope to see Santa and, you know, get your kids dressed up, go to the mall casually and hope to have your kids see Santa and get the picture taken. That does not happen. It's online booking, Leanne. You book a specific time.
Really?
Oh, yes, Leanne. Oh, that's what I mean. Highly regulated. You can't just show up for Santa. So I don't like to do, you know, the mall is too much. I mean, it's hard to figure out like when my grandchildren would be free.
Right.
You know,
right.
So there's this little party, there's a Santa there. So this is the one I like to take them to because
private viewing.
It's a private Santa. Okay. So here's the other thing that I know. The party starts at 5:30. Don't you know, Leanne, because we're Dolans, we're there at 5:20 because the worst thing is like standing in line, you know, because who's in line? You have 2-year-olds in line. Right. You have like 18-month-olds. You know, you have newborns. The kids are so excited. It's just impossible for them to stand in line. So we arrived last night for the Christmas party. And I have to say my 2 grandchildren, Alice and Benjamin, looked absolutely adorable. Benjamin in a red sweater, Alice in this little blue velvet dress looked gorgeous. Okay, totally ready for their pictures. Very excited to see Santa. We get there. We are not first in line. I cannot believe this. 5:20. It doesn't even open. The party doesn't even start till 5:30. We are not first in line. Ahead of me in line is another grandmother, sort of like me, a youngish grandmother, a daughter, you know, and a grandfather, a daughter, and a 12-month-old baby girl. Okay. So they get to go in to see Santa first. Okay. So there, Santa, Mrs. Claus is there. This is a wonderful Santa. He's very nice. And Mrs. Claus is lovely. So the 12-month-old girl, maybe she's 14 months old, but, you know, she's a little young girl. She does not, no way, does she want to get on Santa's lap? Okay. So you know what this is like.
Yeah, tough age, too. 12 months is they have enough awareness. You can't put it over on them. Yeah.
And you can't blame them. It's kind of a good thing. They don't want to go sit on a stranger's lap. Okay,
right.
Fine. Okay, but this grandma is not, she's not having any of this. She is hell-bent that this child is going to sit on Santa's lap. So the next thing I know, I see grandma is now sitting on Santa's lap.
Oh.
Okay, that is what's going on.
Wow.
She is sitting on Santa's lap, and she's trying to coax the 14-month-old, you know, to come and sit next to grandma on Santa's lap. Now, fortunately, she's a young sort of, you know, she's pretty light. And I'm thinking Santa is being a pretty good sport to let grandma sit on his lap, or maybe he's enjoying that. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's where it gets creepy. Yeah.
I know. And Mrs. Claus, I don't know. I don't know what she's thinking that this other woman is sitting on Santa's lap, but there we have it. And the child does not want to come. And so, okay, so TikTok. Okay, because not that I'm counting time, but I'm like I'm marking time, and because the line is now getting big. Okay. There are babies. People are crying. Kids are jumping up and down. And this grandma is sitting on Santa's lap, coaxing the child. So finally they get the child on Santa's lap, and then grandma gets off, and now they want to have the picture of, you know, their lifetime. And it is another 10 minutes, 10 minutes. Oh. They're trying to take the picture. And, you know, here's the thing. Here's some rules. I was thinking of Dr. P.M. Forney, you know, our envoy of civility, who wrote the book Choosing Civility, The 25 Rules of Considerate Conduct. And I'm very grateful to Patty Simondet. I think that's how she pronounces her
Patty
name.
Patty F.
Yes, Patty, yes, who posted on our website that are on our Facebook page that she had just, you know, unearthed her copy of the book. I think everyone should take it out because, you know, here's the thing. OK, when you go to a party, that is not your personal Santa. You know, right. It was like highly inconsiderate. It seems to me that these people were spending so much time trying, you know, with their grandchild trying, you know, with Santa. I mean, if you want that kind of relationship, or you want to have that, you should hire your own. You should get your own Santa.
Get your own Santa.
Yeah. Get your own Santa. Okay. That's number one. That's my first rule. Okay. Okay. It's not your personal Santa. You need to respect other people's space and time and be considerate of other people, as Dr. Forney would say. Number two, no nanas on Santa, don't you think, Leanne?
Yeah,
I think that's got to be, that's no nanas on Santa. That's wrong, okay? If you are an adult, do not get in Santa's lap.
Anyone over the age of 12 should not be in Santa's lap. I think there's an age limit. I think it's 12.
Yes, okay, okay.
I mean,
it's somewhere in there, Leanne.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't, you know, depending on the child, but I mean, you just, no nanas on Santa's lap. Okay, number three, if the child is afraid of Santa, just fine. Don't make that child. No, don't make, or you have to do, you know, again, what if you've been to any good shopping mall where they have a good Santa, what you do when the child is afraid of Santa is you back them into Santa. You take the child and back them right into Santa and have the picture taken. Boom, it's done in a second. Okay. It, you know, the idea that you're going to coax this child into some stranger's lap, that is bad. Okay.
Right.
That's bad. Okay. So that is another one. Okay. And then the idea that you're going to get the smiling picture of the child with Santa, really. Okay, come on. Okay, don't waste other people's time with that. Actually, I think it's kind of cuter, the pictures where the child is absolutely miserable in Santa's lap.
It is.
I
mean, it's deviously cuter. I think it's Ellen DeGeneres on her website that has like hundreds of those like horrifying Santa pictures.
But those
and
are,
they
I,
are
I,
fun.
People were like, this grandmother last night, she was just hell-bent. And Santa and Mrs. Claus were being very, very patient with her. The rest of the line, not so much.
See, that's the thing. The rest of the line is two-year-olds.
I know.
These are not grown-ups. That's why it's super-duper inconsiderate. And those kids have their own anxieties about Santa.
Yeah. And here's the final thing, that I think it's not a bad idea to go ahead and prep your child. Like, what are you going to ask Santa for? So that, you know, because they get a little shy when they, you know, again, TikTok. You want to keep this thing moving.
Little pre-production goes a long way.
Just think about what you're going to say to Santa, okay, in a gentle way. Okay, you know, they don't have to prepare a giant list, but just what they want to say. You know, I mean, I think that might go a long way. But I if you keep this in mind, I think it will add to just the holiday spirit. And to, because I was about ready. I mean, if that Nana did not get off Santa, I was going in, Leanne. I was going in. I was one step away. You know, I just, you know, you lose your patience around the holidays. So
did Santa ask if you wanted food in with your toxins? How about that? So how did Alice and Benjamin do? Did they?
They enjoyed it. They had a nice moment. Benjamin asked for another fire engine. He's asked for a fire engine every single year.
Good.
So I guess he thinks it's a good strategy because he keeps getting them and he likes them. So that's good. Alice, she doesn't really want anything in particular for Christmas.
Right.
So she asked for a peacock feather, which I think Santa was a little confused, but if that's what she wants, I think that's fine. So there you go. So they had a nice moment and we moved on, and I did not get in Santa's lap. Okay.
Okay. So yeah, there you've heard it now. Nana's rules for pictures with Santa. You know what I'm going to post on our website, Julie? I did take the most magical photo of Brooks and Santa ever. And it was the back it in strategy.
Back it in.
He was 6 months old. Mom was with me. It was the middle of the day. There was no line. Outdoor Santa, great lighting. Backed him in. And I got a shot of him just turning his little face and seeing that elf for the first time. And like moments later, he started crying. But I got the shot of shots. So I'm going to post that actually on the website so people can see that. With this, when we post the show, I'll scan that and put that up. But you made me think of it because it's exactly what we did. It's adorable. And after that, I felt like I didn't even have to get one of the next child. Like I got the shot of shots.
So your second son.
I mean, Colin has a couple, but none compare. Like that's the only one I put out at Christmas time. Is that it's the way it doesn't really matter who the kid is. It's just the best shot ever. So, okay. You know, later on in the show, we're going to talk about popular baby names and Tuesday trends. But Julie, there was an actual study that I thought we should discuss published in the LA Times today. And it was about the differences between the brains of men and the brains of women. And it was published by the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, who observed behavioral differences between the sexes. This is like a no-brainer if you've ever talked to a man or talked to a woman. Okay. I think it's particularly true. Well, you'll see. Here's just in a nutshell. Women did better at tests of attention, word and face memory, and cognition. Mm-hmm. And men did better on spatial processing, mm-hmm. motor skills, and sensory motor speed.
Okay. I don't know what. Okay, you'll explain.
Well, it means, Julie, the fact that your husband can never remember the names of your friends, even though he's met them 100 times.
I know. How about that? What's that about?
It's science, apparently. Like, when, you know, for 20 years, when he said, what's her name again? I was like, for God's sakes, you've met her 12 times. And I just thought he didn't care, but it's because he isn't capable of remembering word and face memory, or he's capable of it, but not to the level that you and I are. So the idea basically is that we do divide up along gender roles and, you know, the things that you think of, women better at making connections. Apparently men work better front to back, their brains, they have a stronger front to back connectivity. And women, scientists describe our brains, listen to this, as interhemispheric or left right connectivity. So they're not.
That explains all the swirling going on in my head all the time, Leanne.
It does.
Interhemispheric
connectivity. So, and it's not that, you know, we can't do spatial relations or some of us don't have good motor skills or sensory motor speed. It's just men tend to be stronger. And it's not like men couldn't be good with faces and names. They just probably aren't. So it is kind of dividing things up along gender lines. Like basically, if you have to learn a new task, say you decide to take up, the scientists use the example of skiing in, you know, midlife, it's a new task. It's a sport that relies on spatial relations and, you know, sensory motor connectivity. Men would tend to be better at that. But whereas
women just try to find a cute ski instructor to relate to, or find a good ski outfit or something like that. No.
Yeah. Or like we remember the names of the trails and we're going to be more interested in what's happening at the lodge and things like that. And we'll remember the name of our ski instructor, whether he or she is cute or not. So that's the deal. But to me, it just was like, this is exactly what my husband is. This is exactly how things divide up in our house along those lines.
He always packs the car.
Yes.
Right, when you go on trips.
Right.
Yeah, my husband and they do a superior job at that. Like I would just throw things in the back, right? And then it would never fit. Or I say, it's never going to all fit. And then they somehow manage to pack the car so they, because they have good spatial relations. That's a good thing.
So I'm just passing this along because I hope, like, if you're newlyweds and you're wondering as you go to your office Christmas party why your spouse, if he's a man, does not, you know, remember the name of your boss or any of your coworkers, don't go easy on him when you get home. And if he wants to pack the car, let him pack the car. I think some of this stuff is a relief. Okay, fine. Pack the car. Like, I don't have any interest in putting up the Christmas lights. And like last night I came home, it was 8:30 at night. I had been in a late yoga class. My husband is like in the dark and he's already put the lights up. And I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, well, I figured out a way I can get all the lights on one switch upstairs. I thought about it on the way home and I had to rewire the lights and everything. I'm like, fantastic. Like, I didn't go out there and try to help him, you know, wasn't going to be any help. I could confirm I enjoyed the colored lights on the bushes and the white lights on the house. That looked fine. But so I found this to be a huge relief.
Yes, you know, I mean, it is. I mean, there is a seriousness to this that if you actually acknowledge these differences and value the differences and respect the differences, it goes a long way in relationships, right?
Yes.
That, you know, rather than, you know, being frustrated that you don't react the same way, you know, just as you said, go easy on the husband when he has like no idea.
What your best friend's name is. Although it was interesting, they did this study. First of all, it was a husband and wife team that did the study, Raquel and Ruben Gurr, which is kind of cool. But one of the reasons they were studying this was actually to look at the treatment of diseases like autism and schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. And how the brain, you know, the gender differences in the brain so that they could figure out differences in the treatment for those particular diseases. So it is just kind of a subset, like we're having fun with the subset, but this is interesting study for the treatment of those diseases. And they want to caution that, you know, even though this is true, you know, things can vary widely by gender. So this is not to say there isn't a single woman that can do spatial relations or there aren't men that are, you know, also working with interhemispheric galactic connections, but just in general. So there you go. Differences between men and women.
And what do you think that grocery checker, how would you describe her brain functioning or his brain functioning?
It was a female.
Okay.
I think I would describe it as having a bad day at work.
Okay.
That's how, having a bad day Thanksgiving week. All right. Tuesday trends, Jewel, what do you got?
Tuesday trends, Leon. I have two trends that I want to get your reaction to because, I found in the Wall Street Journal, and this is going to be big stuff. But I just wanted to know if you feel the same. The first is headlines in the Wall Street Journal on Friday, November 15th. They said bidets are having their day. That now all of a sudden in high-end luxury homes, this is what people want in their bathrooms, that they want bidets. Okay. That this is, and some of it, Leon, is because there are so many foreign born people that are now coming to the US building homes. And this is the cleansing method that they're used to in their countries. They want this in the bathrooms of homes that they build. So first of all, I want to get your reaction to the idea. Do you think bidets are going to catch on in the U.S.? Is it like soccer that finally people are going to really take the plunge? And
every once in a while on House Hunters, you'll see a house that features a bidet.
Yes.
And I have to say, most Americans are still confused by how exactly you use that bidet. It does.
How you mount it?
Yeah.
You know,
the whole situation, what the purpose of that thing is, it still seems like kind of a waste of porcelain to me. But I understand culturally that's what you're used to. I get it. Kind of makes sense if people coming in building high-end homes are foreigners. That makes sense to me. But I would not rush out. I don't think it's going to be a make-or-break real estate item, frankly, for Americans.
Well, Leon, but let me tell you about the new me.
Okay.
This was introduced in 2011. And this is an integrated bidet and toilet made by U.S. Kohler, you know, the big toilet brand. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is a combo. First of all, it comes with a frosted glass side panels. I don't know exactly why, but that is appealing. Okay, and then the toilet has an auto flush that adjusts depending for how long the user sits on the seat.
So that's
pretty good. But then let me tell you, it goes on. Of course, the seat is also heated. And it has a foot warmer as well. So when you're...
Okay, first of all, you would never get my sons off the toilet.
Oh, no,
if their toilet had all those features.
Okay, the fact that it has Bluetooth-delivered music.
Oh!
It can play through two speakers, okay? And, oh, this is a nice decorating feature. It has illuminated panels, Leanne, and the toilet side can actually turn 8 different colors.
Wow.
So
well,
you
now
can
I'm interested. Yeah.
You can program your bidet toilet to, you know, be pink in the morning, blue midday, green, you know, ending up in, you know, moving from one color to another. How about that?
Yeah. Okay. It would be a new me. I'd tell you that if I had one of those.
Okay. And it also has a Wi-Fi setting so that you can... you know, it's a bidet. You can't not laugh when you think, but this is that you can flush it like automatically or from use your cell phone to flush the toilet.
I'm imagining when guests come to your house and ask to connect to your Wi-Fi network, that one of the networks that pops up is Julie's bidet.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria Seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do. from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Lee and Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, pros, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Lian's. Okay? And I'm using it. Pros isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, pros, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Lian and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros.
Julie's bidet.
The new Julie.
And of course, I mean, of course, it has all kinds of water temperature controls and as well as a dryer with, you know, high intense air pressure. So that way you don't have to use as much toilet paper.
So
that's something to consider.
How much does that retail for? Do you have that number there?
Yes, I do. Lian, it's $6,653.
Wow.
It's called the new me. So you definitely might want to look into that because I think that is, you know, but there are a lot of these that are, you know, these are premier or, you know, premium bidets that you want to get. So I think it's, you know, that they all come with touchscreen buttons and, you know, that you know, all kinds of automatic air deodorizers and things. So
just okay.
You don't think
I can just think of a lot of other things to do with $6,000, but I guess
I don't know. We had a bidet in our apartment in Moscow.
Yeah.
And I used to throw my clothes on top of it. My bathroom. I just never embraced the bidet. But this seems like so much, you know, it seems like so much that you could have in your bathroom, you know, so if that's your thing, that's one. So that's one trend that we'll just see. Apparently, bidet sales are up 12% in the U.S. this year. So there may be a bidet coming to a home near you. That's all I can say.
Excellent.
Okay, second trend, Lian, that this is another European trend. It's for a new kind of diet. And don't we need a diet after Thanksgiving and those fried Oreo cookies that I ate, which were super delicious. And this is very popular in Europe. It's called the 5-2 diet, Lian, which suggests that you eat normally 5 days a week and then on 2 days a week, you restrict the amount of calories that you take to somewhere between 500 to 650.
Oh, I thought it was going to be you like ate simply 5 days a week, then pigged out for two. But it's kind of dang it.
You wish, Lian.
Yeah, oh, I was like, oh, 5-2. That's sort of what I do. So, okay.
This, and again, the idea here is it's sort of jolting your body into, that's not the scientific term, but it's, you know, it's kind of tricking your metabolism into, you know, not getting used to a certain amount of calories. And this is supposed to, you know, add to your longevity. It's supposed to, in many cases, they, you know, say reduce your weight. And, but I don't know, how do you feel about that, Lian? Do you think that this is a diet that you could do or that you would be interested in following?
The minute someone says calorie restriction, all I can think about is eating. You know, this is, you know, It's like something goes off in my trigger goes off in my brain, and all I can think about is my next 100 calories. You know, I just that kind of you know, precise measurement of calories and stuff, that is not for me. I cannot do that. I can understand things like meatless Mondays or going, you know, having some juices a couple of lunch a week, but actually like restricting calories 2 days a week, forget it. That would totally backfire for me. I'd end up eating 3,600 calories instead of 600.
You know, people admit, and the researchers say, people are very grumpy initially when they're on this kind of diet, because they do. They feel deprived, as you just are, you know, articulated. And, you know, but they then get into the rhythm of it, and that they, you know, they adjust to that rhythm. You know, it's just you could do that. You could adjust to it. But what you're saying is, like, if someone says you can't have it, you want it. That's it. Okay.
Just not,
all right. So I think it's kind of these are two trends that you don't seem to be following, that you're not going to be embracing later.
Yeah. All right, Julie, I know you have another grandchild on the way. I don't know if they've decided on a name yet, but I do have the top 10 baby names for boys and girls of 2013.
It's always fun
to hear these lists. And I'm always surprised at some of the names. You think, really, there are that many girls named? So we'll start with the girls, and we'll go from number 10 up. At number 10, Chloe, then Emily, Zoe, Lily, Ava, Mia, Isabella, Olivia, Emma, and the number one name for girls. Want to guess?
Mia?
Well, we already have Mia.
We already said Mia?
So we said Chloe, Emily, Zoe, Lily, Ava, Mia, Isabella.
Oh, Mia.
What?
Oh, no. So you did say Mia. They're all sounding so similar, because they're all like
A.
So all ending in E or A.
So the number one name for girls also ends in an A. It is Sophia.
Sophia. Oh,
Sophia.
Yes. Okay. That's a very popular name. All of those are beautiful names.
Yes, they are.
They're all sort of melodic. They seem very feminine. They seem relatively easy to spell for most people. No hard Karens, you know, no hard consonants like Karen or Leon or, you know, something tough like that.
There you go. And, you know, it's funny. I had a conversation with a woman this week when I was working my shift at Vroman's bookstore, and her daughter's name was Marcia, but of course it's just spelled Marcia. So the woman asked me, you know, she asked me how I pronounce my name. She said, is it Leanne or Leanne? I said, it's Leanne, for the 9,000th time in my life. And she said, do you wish you had a more normal name? And I said, yep. There's no doubt in my mind that when people say, oh, it's a pretty name, that's lovely. Thank you very much. But it's just every single day I have to say it, pronounce it. I'm called by the wrong name. And her daughter said the same thing. Like, I wish my name was just Kate. I go, I wish my name was Kate too. So I'm all for pretty names that you can spell and that people can pronounce. I'm an advocate for names like that. My name is fine, but it is something I have to work on with people every single day.
But I'm surprised with that list, Lynn. I'm surprised it doesn't have more sort of gender neutral names.
Yeah, gone are the Madisons.
Madison, Harper, Tyler, you know, I don't know. You know, they all are like names where you can't tell if they're a boy or a girl or, you know, whatever. But there's none of those on the list. So that's something.
Okay. So here are the boys' names.
Okay.
And it's almost the opposite. A lot of hard consonants with the boys. Number 10 is Jack.
Okay. Very popular. I've heard that a lot.
Then we have Jacob.
Uh-huh. Good.
Ethan.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden.
Okay.
Mason.
Yeah. Isn't that because he's a Kardashian? Isn't that a Kardashian name? That's what I assume. Yes, I think that's, if I'm not mistaken, somebody can buzz in on this at any moment, but I believe that is one of the Kardashian kids' names, Mason. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Noah.
Mm-hmm.
Lucas, which is a nice name. Strangely enough, the number three name for boys is Liam. Liam. I know. Unbelievable. It hasn't helped me at all. People still say Leanne. Okay, number two name, Aiden, which had the top spot last year, but is now number two. And the number one name for boys, Jackson.
Jackson.
Yes.
Okay. Jackson. All right. Okay.
Which is a nice name. So here are a few trends influencing names, Julie, in case you want to pass this along to your daughter-in-law.
Okay.
Here's one I know she'll be interested in. Duck Dynasty appears to be influencing... A few names.
I don't watch that show. Are those names?
I don't watch that show either, but the names on the show are Corey, Mia, Phil, Sadie, and Silas, and they all rose in popularity.
Okay.
All right. Prince George, of course, you would think there might be a few offshoots of that. So Georgia, Georgina, Giorgio also rose on our baby list. Interestingly, though, George actually fell out of the top 10. On the UK baby list this year.
Yeah, if you lived in Great Britain, it would be pretty hard to name your baby George, right?
I guess so. Right.
You know, that you can understand that.
Okay.
I mean, again, because it's the royalty thing, Liam.
Yeah.
Okay.
But naming your daughter Georgina is kind of a nice twist on that. Kanye West related names seem to have grown in popularity. West as a name is actually up quite a few spots,
oh,
as
God,
is North. They can't find a single North in the database, but West is actually up as a name. And then apparently HBO's Girls has inspired some baby names, and the names on that show are Shoshana, Marnie, Zosha, and Lena, or Lena. Lena is how she pronounces it.
Okay.
So there you go. But the one big trend they want to identify, which I think is good in general, is that people appear to be going back to their own family names and are less influenced by celebrity baby names.
I think that's a fine trend that we can all get behind. Don't you, Liam?
Yes, I do. I do. So maybe we're going to have a baby Edna. Who knows?
I don't know. Again, they have not asked for my input on names. This is something that you learn. It's their baby, and they have decided that they would like to name the baby. So how about that? And they're keeping it kind of a surprise until the baby is born. We are expecting our third grandchild at the end of December. So I'll keep everybody posted on the name. So,
all right. I want to mention one more thing before we deck out of here tomorrow. If you are listening to this on Tuesday, December 3rd, well, you're very prompt. Thank you. If you are listening on Wednesday, December 4th, today is the day where my two novels, Helena Pasadena and Elizabeth the First Wife, are the Kindle Daily Deals of the day. It's very exciting, Julie, because
does that mean, Liam?
Well, it means that they're greatly reduced in price on the e-version. So if you are one of the many, many, many people who bought a Kindle on Cyber Monday, go ahead and load up Helena Pasadena for $1.99 and Elizabeth the First Wife for $2.99. It's 24 hours only, December 4th only. The Kindle Daily Deal, if you go to the Amazon site, you can find that. But of course, I'll put links up on the day. On December 4th, I will put live links up everywhere. It's exciting for me, Julie, because it's a chance for my book to get into the hands of a lot of people who have never heard Satellite Sisters, are not related to me. You know, just, it. You know, the Amazon promotion team will send an email into everyone's inbox, and it's a chance for new readers to discover me, which I'm thrilled about.
Right. And it's going to be delivered by drone, no doubt. Right.
Yeah.
No. But that is a wild and crazy story, which I know everybody, you know, it's been in every news outlet.
I know.
But gotta love the drones. That's big thinking. So, well, that's exciting, Leanne, and that will be a good day. And
yeah,
a great, you know, it's a great little holiday gift to give people.
It
no
is.
Doubt.
Or yes, it is. You can buy a gift certificate for it, I believe, on that day. Or if you bought someone a Kindle, you can preload their Kindle. Or if you have the hardback version and would just love the paperback, there you go. So, or would love the e-version, there you go. So anyway, it's very exciting. I just wanted to mention it. If you want to share that information with your friends on social media, fantastic. But I will be basically sitting at home watching my Amazon ranking all day. So that creates a huge amount of anxiety. So I'm looking forward to that.
It's a fun day, no doubt, Liam.
All right. And also I want to mention one other thing. I am taping later today an interview with my friend Nancy Burke. And Nancy, she does a series of podcasts called Wine at Nine, but she's also done the College Bound Chronicles with me. And she has a new partnership with Parade Magazine. So one of her specialties is sort of, she's also a psychologist. So she likes to talk to sort of old TV and movie stars and like child stars and sort of figure out, you know, their deal. And so she says she likes to analyze Hollywood. It's a good way to position herself. So she just did a whole series of interviews with the entire cast of The Sound of Music, all the Von Trapp kids, all of them. She talked to every single Von Trapp kid. And so I'm going to talk to Nancy later today about what she found out. You know, there's that new production of The Sound of Music with Carrie Underwood. Yes. So in anticipation of that, Nancy went back and talked to all the Von Trapps. They're all still very close. They hang out all the time. Yeah, they have great memories of being on that set, great memories of Julie Andrews and Christopher Plummer. And they've all maintained sort of relatively normal lives. Some are still in the acting profession. Others are software designers and artists and things like that. So I'm going to chat with Nancy about what she learned about The Sound of Music. So that's going to be later today. I'll probably post that tomorrow.
And that's going to be at Satellite Sisters and Chaos Chronicles.
Yes. Yeah. I'm just going to put it up everywhere because, you know, who doesn't love The Sound of Music? I mean, really.
Not a single person, Liam. You're right. It's universal.
It is. Hey, remember how hot Christopher Plummer was?
Yeah. Yes, he was.
I don't know. Yes, maybe other people liked Steve McQueen or Paul Newman, but I liked Captain Von Trapp, man.
Yeah, Captain. Captain, my captain. Woohoo!
Okay. All right. We are the Satellite Sisters. You can always find us at satellitesisters.com or join our Facebook open group. We're at SatSis on Twitter. And, you know, we come at you a couple days a week here on the podcast at iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. Thanks for all the thumbs up and the support and the retweeting. We really appreciate it. It makes a big difference. And don't forget, call your satellite sister.